Hi, welcome to this week's episode of Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. I'm Letitia. On this week's episode, I want to talk about something that I talked about previously that I think is pretty exciting. Early in one of my episodes, I talked about the lack of funding there is for endometriosis and that the funding keeps getting cut, which means we are not close to finding a cure. We're not close to getting more research to find out exactly what causes endometriosis. We know that it's tissue that grows outside of the uterus, grows on the ovaries and grow a whole bunch of places. Some people have it in their lungs, just it can grow a whole bunch of places. We don't really know why that happens. You just like you have endometriosis. We don't really know why it happens. They have speculation on why it happens, retrograde menstruation. What they think is that the period flows backwards and that causes it sometimes in the tube. How does the period flow backwards? I don't know. They don't know. No one's really sure. That's just kind of what they came up with. So it's still kind of a guessing game on what causes endometriosis. What we do know is there is not a cure for it. That's what we do know. We know that you have to have surgery in order to even be diagnosed with it, which most people aren't diagnosed with it because most doctors don't do the surgery, the laparoscopic procedure. A lot of women are having hysterectomies, being told that it cures their endometriosis when it doesn't, because you don't always have endometriosis just in your uterus, your ovaries, in that area. For example, I have endometriosis on my bowel. If they take my uterus and or my ovaries hysterectomy, I'm still going to have endometriosis. That's not going to take my endometriosis away. It's going to take it away probably in the particular area they took out because it's not going to be there anymore. But that's not saying I'm not going to still have endometriosis. And it's also not going to say that I'm still not going to have issues. Because maybe they leave, maybe they still leave my ovaries. Maybe they just take my uterus. I still have it on the bowel. So we can still have issues. I read about a lady online and she had a hysterectomy and now she still has endometriosis and has to go in to have surgery to take out her endometriosis. So she basically on some level had a hysterectomy for nothing. So she's still having endometriosis problems and has to have surgery for endometriosis. So technically she's having two surgeries. So the exciting news is something that I have talked about that we needed to do, and they passed it in the House. The House passed to double research funding for endometriosis. Yay! Clap, clap, so excited. So, that is what was passed in the House. So, it would increase funding to $26 million. That is amazing. $26 million. That is double what it was in 2019. So $13 million sounds like a lot, but when you get into research and all the different things you have to do, it really isn't. A lot more programs are getting a lot more money. Some people could be getting over $100 million for research. So $26 million is double from 13. It is a start. I'm very happy. It is a start. One of the second youngest congresswomen in history is the one who got this started. She has endometriosis herself and talked about her condition during March, which is Endometriosis Awareness Month, as we know, because I talked about endometriosis all through March. But I talk about it all the time, but in March I talked about more statistics and all of that. She talked about her struggle, honestly, on the House floor. She talked about how she was happy to be diagnosed being young, and how it takes approximately, she's saying on average, 7.5 years for women to receive an accurate diagnosis. Depends, I guess, on different things. What I have read is normally on average it's 8 to 10 years. And it's saying that in the condition affects 7 million women in the U.S. and then 1 in 10 million worldwide. 7 million women in the U.S. That is a mind-blowing statistic. 7 million women, and we are doing, we don't have a cure for 7 million women. Really, we don't have options to give them besides, basically your options are, basically I guess your options are two things. Your options are birth control pills, patch, shot, implant, IUD, any form of birth control, I guess is your, or a hysterectomy. So your options really are not that good. I don't know what other disease where your options are either you take pills for life or you have part of your anatomy basically taken out. That's really your choice. I don't know what other when else you're given that choice. Now, if you have cancer, that's something different, and it attacks, you know, something. If it attacks your lung, then sometimes you don't even have to have your lung removed, or you might have to, you know, something like that. That is something that's completely different in terms of, you know, they have to get that. You get treatment for cancer, and hopefully it does not come back. Endometriosis, you have surgery. They don't really give you treatment besides, you know, you can get birth control pills, and it does come back. I mean, let's be real. Honestly, it can come back on the birth control pill. The birth control pill basically is to slow it down. So it's not like we are saying it's going away forever. You're not ever getting it again. We're not saying that. So for you to have $26 million, I'm excited about it. I'm hoping we can get more research. Research I want done. I want research. You know, I want research. I want to find, if we don't find a cure, which I really hope we do. I really want a cure. That's what I want. I want a cure for this because it's not, I want a cure not just because I suffer with it. I want a cure for all of the women. Because I feel like all of the women are just, a lot of the women have really bad symptoms. They have to have hysterectomies. I feel like they're going through unnecessary surgeries, unnecessary stress, all of that. So I want a cure to help the women, the other women, okay? It's not a, you know, a cure would be great. I would love that, but my thought is I want a cure for all the women, especially the younger generation. I feel like we are really doing a disservice to them by not giving more options, honestly. So it is really, really, really crazy. Because at this point, you are, okay, so we've talked about endometriosis can affect you basically from the time you get your period, which can be anywhere from, most on average, most girls get their period anywhere from 10 and up normally. I got my period when I was 12. So that's what we deal with. Most women go into menopause at approximately in their 50s, probably. So that is a long time to be dealing with endometriosis. And if it takes, on average, she said 7.5, what I've read is 8 to 10. So let's say it takes on average 7.5 to 10 years to get diagnosed. How old are you, depending on when you started your period? Because most of the time, you have had bad period problems your whole life. So we're thinking by the time you get diagnosed, you're probably, maybe you're in your 20s, but you may not, but you may be in your 30s. Like, I just got diagnosed late last year. I'm like in my late 30s, so, you know, it takes a while. But here's the thing. So I'm saying if we're getting diagnosed, I'm going to go with we're getting diagnosed. She said she's young. I'm not, it didn't say how young she is. But let's say you get, most women get diagnosed. We're going to go with most, we're going to say that they get diagnosed somewhere between 25 and 35. And again, I'm just throwing out that age range. I have 25 to 35 because I'm thinking if it takes that long, maybe you got your period, for example, maybe you got your period at 15 to 10 years, or maybe you didn't start having problems until your early 20s, all of that. So we're going to go with the age range of 25 to 35. So 25 to 35, what's that age range? What's the big deal about that age range? Well, 25 to 35 approximately is a big reproductive time, right? Women are getting married, having babies, right? Or they're just having babies during that time. So it is when you have good fertility, and you know, most women start a family around that age. That's 25 to 35, some younger, some older. But on average, it's right around 25 to 35 is when you're having your children. So around this time is when you're also prospectively getting diagnosed for endometriosis. And your choices are to have a hysterectomy or take birth control pills. Are any of those, how are those going to work along with if you want to have a family? Can't get pregnant if you're on birth control, and really can't have kids if we have a hysterectomy. So I feel like they are really, really jeopardizing, first of all, women's ability to have a child, first off, because they make you feel like you're the worst and you're going to be in pain and this and that if you don't take the birth control pill. If you're trying to have a baby, you can't take the birth control pill. So then they push really, really hard to have a hysterectomy. I know that I have mentioned that my doctor talked about wanting to do a hysterectomy, mind you, a month right after I had had my surgery for endometriosis, because I asked about how long my periods were going to be bad, and then wanted to do a hysterectomy, ended up remembering that I wanted to have a child, so then was mad that she couldn't do the hysterectomy. And it's like, yeah, oh yeah, I can't do a hysterectomy on you because you want to have a child. And it's like, even, and here's the deal, even if I did not want to have a child, I'm still not going to do a hysterectomy, okay? So, hysterectomies, honestly, I find that hysterectomies are causing a lot of problems down the road. They are doing research. You can look this up. They're starting to, what I've read is they're starting to piece together if having hysterectomies are causing dementia later on. That is one of the things that they're researching. So having a hysterectomy causes your body to go into, you're going into early menopause. If you're having a hysterectomy at, well, I'm going to go with 25, 30, your body is going into menopause probably 20, 30 years earlier than it's supposed to. Think about the havoc that it wreaks on your body. And then you've got to take medicine to try to help that. So I'm 25, and I've got to take hormone therapy to help me because I'm in menopause because I had a hysterectomy. that's a lot on your body. Your body goes through a natural progression. So when it's your turn, I mean, even if you're the age to have menopause, menopause is still hard on women even when they're at the age and it's going naturally for them. Imagine what your body is going to do when it's not natural for you and it's not your time. It is throwing your whole body in a mess. And you're going to have to take medicine for that. And medicine does not cure everything. So just think how you're feeling. Your emotions are probably all over the place. Your hormones are all over the place. You're feeling a certain way. You can't have a child anymore. You had a hysterectomy. You still might have endometriosis. You just feel like at a loss. These are the women that I want a cure for. Those are the exact women that I think about when I want to educate women, when I want to do my podcast and do other things that I have coming down. I think about those women who don't know that they have other options. I want to educate them. I am worried for the future generations. Endometriosis is not something that's going away. Women in the next generation are going to have it, young girls, all of that. I want to educate them. A lot of them aren't diagnosed. She told me says there's 7 million people in the United States. I'm willing to bet you that a lot of them don't even know that they have it. They probably don't know they have endometriosis. They're told their periods, bad periods are normal. You have cramps, that's normal, period. Heavy bleeding, that's normal. Painful sex, that's normal. You know, they tell you it could be PMS symptoms. So a lot of women have it, but they probably are told it's normal and not a, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Here's some birth control pills and, you know, that'll make you feel better. Birth control pills give you a false sense of things are going well. It masks your symptoms. Depending on what kind of birth control you're on, you may not have a period. If I'm not having a period, then I'm not having painful cramps. I'm not having heavy bleeding because I'm not having a period. So I'm thinking things are fine, or I'm not complaining because I'm not having those issues anymore. That doesn't mean those issues aren't there. That means I'm just not having them. If I'm not having those issues, then I can't go to the doctor and complain about them, right? So if I'm not going to the doctor and complaining about them, then it's like they don't exist until something happens and they do. So that's really what it is. So I just was so excited to see that it came through the house, that we're getting more funding. It didn't tell me what the next steps were, but I wanted to share it. I'm hoping the next steps are we're going to get the funding going and all of that. I know that endometriosis is something that people are talking about a little more. I'm talking about it with people. Every chance I get, I'm sharing endometriosis I am sharing it all over the place. I am at the point where, you know what, I think I'm going to get me a shirt. I really think I'm going to get a shirt about endometriosis and, go from there. They have masks to talk about endo. I am going to, honestly, what I'm going to do is I feel like I share a lot of stuff on my podcast. Not everyone may listen to the podcast, so I'm really thinking about getting a social media site. I need your help. Let me know what social media site you think is best. I'm kind of leaning towards Facebook or Instagram. On some level, I'm thinking more maybe Instagram. Then you can share like documents, different things, photos, all of that, to get more people. And I really am thinking I should do some shirts. You know, let me know, you know, email me, let me know, would you buy a shirt? You know, we'll see what we can come up with. And, you know, what social media are you on, active on? Are you on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter? What are you on? That's really what I like to do because my goal is awareness. I do all of this for education and awareness. I love teaching, love education, I love to learn. And endometriosis is something that I'm very, very passionate about, as you can tell. And I want to get the word out. I want to educate. It's something that needs to be done. We need to educate. We need to educate ourselves. I'm going to start with the women. I feel like we as women need to just be educated about endometriosis. Endometriosis is not taught in health class. We don't talk about it. And endometriosis is rarely mentioned, period. I mean, I've heard it mentioned more probably in the last few years. Talking about endometriosis, I have to tell you, I'm very excited whenever I come across something or talk about endometriosis. And, you know, I see it. I'm excited about it. Like I said, I'm always reading and researching and all of that. So, honestly, I was at the store the other day. And I was, I was in the vitamin section looking at vitamins, herbs, all of that. And a gentleman that worked at the store, you know, he came over. He's like, "Do you need some help?" And I'm like, "Oh, I was looking at different... trying to look at different herbs or whatever, because I've heard, you know, some herbs might help with endometriosis." Okay. Well, it comes out he is a scientist. Had a great conversation for a little while about endometriosis. Talked to him about fibroids. And, you know, endometriosis is something, you know, that is, you know, he told me, you know, I'm like, you know, endometriosis, how about research? You know, he told me, now that there are some research studies going on with that, so that's exciting, and all of that. So I am just happy to talk about endometriosis. I will talk about endometriosis to anyone at this point, okay? Man, woman, and all of that, okay? So the point was, like, I used to not really say much to guys about it, but, you know, at this point, they've got to be educated too, okay? So I have educated people, have cut the guys, you know, that I'm friends with or I talk to, they have been educated somewhat on what endometriosis is. Like, I had one of my friends, I talked about endometriosis, and, you know, like, I explained some to them, and they told me later, they're like, "Yeah, like, I hadn't really heard of endometriosis before you talked to me about it. You know, you mentioned you had it." And they're like, "You know, I went and researched it." And honestly, I've had a couple of my guy friends have told me that they have researched endometriosis to see exactly what it was. I gave my rundown, but I appreciate that. They went and did their own research to see what it was. And so I feel like we need to let guys know about endometriosis. And, I would like to shout out the men, because I do have some men listeners, so I see you, and I appreciate you guys as well, okay? So I see on there, I do have some guys who listen, and that's very important, because, you know, honestly, your wife could have endometriosis, your girlfriend, your mother, your sister, your aunt, anybody could in your family. So it's important that we talk about it. And I know it's uncomfortable to talk about things related to our reproductive system or our periods or sex or something with guys. We have to get over it. Honestly, I'm here to tell you, if I can talk about it on the podcast, surely you guys can talk about it with someone who's really close to you in person, okay? The podcast, you know, I am talking to a whole lot of people and sharing all of this stuff. So I am like someone who, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm someone who really, prior to going through all this with endometriosis, I'm someone who really didn't like to share personal information. I will share anything about endometriosis now, not a problem. Other personal things probably will not share. But, you know, endometriosis is, I feel it's a big, big deal to me. I want to get the knowledge out there. So yes, I will share my story. I will share my story any way that I can. I will do a podcast. I will do anything to get the story out there, to share my story. So I am not shy about speaking about endometriosis. We can talk about my surgery. We can talk about symptoms that I had. We can talk about anything. When it comes to endometriosis, I'm not shy. You might, you know, find out more than you want to know. I don't know. But I'm not shy about that. So that is why I do it. So you found out my passion is endometriosis, teaching, education, being creative. It's also a passion of mine. But I do it all to educate. Again, if it was not for you, all of my listeners, all across the world, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. I keep making more episodes and doing it because you keep showing me love. Keep showing me love, and I'll keep making more episodes, coming up with things. So excited about this. So I just had to make an episode as soon as I found out about this great news that came out. When I read it, I was just so happy. And I'm like, I've got to share it on the podcast because I've talked about it and we've got it through the house and we're going to get this, guys. We are on the right side of the battle. Okay. We are going uphill. We're on the right side of the battle. We can see it. Oh my gosh. I can see it now. We are just heading up to where we need to be. 13 million, guys, to 26 million. We're going to get $26 million in funding. Think of what that means. Think of all the research trials that can be done. Think of all of that that can be done. We may, you know, I'm not, maybe we're not finding a cure right this minute. Maybe you can at least figure out why it happened. Okay? Tell me why it happened. Tell me why I have endometriosis. Tell me why it's hereditary. Tell me why you feel like it's hereditary. Tell me why some people have it worse than others. Tell me why you could be a stage 1 or a stage 2 but have pain like a stage 4. Tell me why you're a stage 4 but have pain like a stage 1. Tell me what determines where you get endometriosis. Tell me why some people have it on the bowel, some people don't. Tell me why some people excuse it together, you know, the uterus and the ovary. Tell me why some people have it in their lungs. Tell me why some people have periods and bleed for a couple weeks. Tell me why some people don't. Tell me why some people get relief right away after surgery and some people don't. Some people have to have multiple surgeries. Tell me what is the genetic makeup of endometriosis. I'm really, really excited. It's like, let me know. I'm going to, you know, honestly, I am going to, was given some information on where to look at more research studies, and I'm going to do it. I'm into that. I want to know what we're researching. I will let you guys know. I don't know exactly what we're researching on endometriosis. Are we looking for a cure? Are we looking for the background? Are we looking for why it happens? What exactly are we looking for? Are we trying to figure it? Honestly, I want there to be a better way to diagnose besides surgery, okay? I don't want it to take 7.5 to 10 years to figure out what's going on with me. I don't want to be put on the pill to shut me up so I don't have these symptoms. I want to know what my condition is and what I can do about it. And I don't want my options to be birth control or hysterectomy. That's unacceptable for me. That's not what I want, okay? You are really doing a disservice and being really, I feel like, disrespectful to women. I bet you dudes don't have to deal with this. I bet you if they have a condition, I know for a fact that they don't have the option of you can take medicine, or we can take your man parts. I'm sure that's not the options on the table for them. For something like this, now cancer, like I said, is something different. And even then, I'm not thinking they're getting them removed. I mean, I just feel like we have a disservice as women. Honestly, another thing that I'm thinking, this is really how it comes down to. I feel like what's going to happen to the next generation, I feel like. Birth rates in the U.S. are already down. We are in a pandemic. So we are basically shutting down women's rights on some level to have a child if we're giving you birth control or you have a hysterectomy. So where's reproduction? Who's reproducing children? How are we going to repopulate? How are we repopulating? Something to think about. I had a discussion with someone yesterday. How are we going to repopulate if you're taking some of the women's hysterectomies? We've got to be real. So every woman is not going to have a child, either based on their decision or something out of their control. That is totally fine. Some women don't want children, so that's their choice, all of that. And we have to take out the women who unfortunately aren't able to have a child based on something. Could be endometriosis, could be anything. We've got to take out the women who don't want to have children and all of that. So we're left with all of that. And some of the women may not know that they can't have children, so I'm going to count them differently than the ones that are having hysterectomies, because maybe they don't have a hysterectomy, maybe it's something else. So let's say we take out the population of women who don't want to have a child and those who can't for some reason. And we'll go with that. So we'll say that maybe it's 30%. Maybe it's 30-35%. So we've got 65-70%. So we have 70%. So 1 in 10 women have endometriosis. So what are we thinking we're going to take of that? 1 in 10? I'd say 10%. So, we can take, we'll take, that's like 10%. So we'll take it down. Maybe something else. So we were at 70. Maybe we'll take it down to 1 in 10 has it. 1 in 10 has it, but so we'll take the percentage off. Maybe we'll say 60%. So maybe we're down to 60%. But some of the women may not know that they have it. Some women may have endometriosis. They may not know they have it, and all of that. They might be given a hysterectomy. So even if we're down to 60% or even 50 or 40%, are all those people really going to be able to repopulate? And the question is really, do you want to repopulate? Do you want to be the person that repopulates? Honestly, I'm going to put it out there. I'd like one child, honestly. That's what I would like. So I'm not going to be the one to repopulate the earth. I'm not someone who wants to have a whole bunch of children. That's not me. I do like children, love children, work in education. I get to work with children. They are wonderful. I just know that's not, I love to teach. My goal is to educate. So my desire is not to have a whole bunch of children myself. I'd like one. But I would love to educate a whole bunch of other children. Some people, on the other hand, want to have a whole bunch of children. That is their decision. Everyone is different. But on some level, we have to think about what we're going to do to the population level. If we keep giving women hysterectomies, especially in their reproductive age or younger. We have to think about the effect that that is going to have over time. We don't think about that. All we think about is we want the situation to be over with, and that's that. We don't think about the repercussions. Dementia? Really? Who wants to go through dementia unnecessarily? That is a hard, hard, hard disease. Not necessarily on the person, because the person may not know what's always happening. Who does it affect most? It affects the family. Your family is affected most when you get dementia. They see you slipping away. You don't know them. That's very hurtful for them. I have friends who've had relatives that have dementia. Very, very stressful on the family. Very, very hard. That's what we possibly are causing doing hysterectomies early. We need this endometriosis research. But it doesn't stop here. 26 million is a start. I'm happy with it for now. We're in a pandemic. I'm happy with getting that for now. That's not what I'm not happy with. Like, we need more money every year. Like, 2021, we need more funding money for that. Okay? 26 million is a jump off. It's the start. I want us to get as much research for endometriosis as we do for other diseases that are just as messed up. Okay? So, that's what I'm advocating for. I'm advocating for change. I hope that you guys feel this way as well. Please Google endometriosis and look at all the different associations. Find one in organizations. Find one that resonates with you. And see what you can do to volunteer or donate or whatever you can or want to do to be more active in the endometriosis community. I know I'm always looking for different things to do, different ways to help. And there's a lot of different things that go along with it, with endometriosis, other diseases and everything else. And it's just some of the things that they're coming with are just so amazing. Love reading books about endometriosis. Find it very fascinating. Just endometriosis and how it can affect just different parts, fertility, just all different types of things. So I will be sharing more with you as I do more research. And this has just been so amazing. Love all of the research. Let's keep it going. So excited. I think we're going to get there, guys. I think we're going to get the momentum to find out more about this like we need to. And I think we are on the right track. I hope that everyone is as excited about this as I am. And I know that some of you listening probably do have endometriosis. That's why you listen. Please, like I said, email me and let me know your story, whatever you want to share. We can have you come on a guest. We can have conversation together. If you have an idea for the show or something you want me to research or talk about, email me, let me know. I'm always looking for ideas. I'm always open for ideas. Just let me know what you guys think. As always, thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. I always love sharing my information with you guys. You are the greatest. And as always, Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly comes out every other Saturday. Hi, I was so excited talking about endometriosis funding and how the House ended up passing the funding, but I forgot. Today is our 25th episode of Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. Can you believe it? I know I can't. 25 episodes. Oh my goodness. It's just been a whirlwind. I can't believe that we have had 25 episodes together. Talked about anything and everything. I have talked about endometriosis and dating, exercise, talked about virtual health appointments, talked about self-care, endometriosis working, talked about having endometriosis during the pandemic. Of course, Endometriosis Awareness Month, we talked about in March. Endobelly, talked about period tips, especially occasionally you have endometriosis. Talked about endometriosis and sex, talked about natural care products like natural pads, tampons, pain relievers, all of that. We've talked about my follow-ups after surgery. We've talked about surgery tips and all of that. And there's plenty more to come. I am just so excited to have had 25 episodes. It's hard to believe that my podcast will be 1 year old in just a couple more weeks. So excited. Exciting time, and I plan on having an exciting show that day as well. I'm talking about some things. Just really, really, really so blessed and happy that I am able to keep producing and putting out good episodes. I know I talked about before. Oh, hitting over 1,000 views is big. I look at my stats to see what shows are popular to try to follow up on those. And it's just, I never, honestly, I do all of this to educate all of you. I never dreamed that I would have as many views. I never dreamed that I'd be having my podcast for a year. It's just all very, oh, exciting, and I'm just ready to party. There's just been so many big things that have happened. Hitting the big goal, 1,000 views. I'm having 1 year post-op. This is my 25th episode, and then I've got the 1 year endometriosis podcast coming next time. So it's just a lot of big things happening. Can't wait to share them all with you. Again, I thank you all for listening, and I know you listen to me all across the world. I see that. I see you. I appreciate you. I couldn't do this show, this podcast, without you and your feedback, and having you guys listen makes it all worth it. I hope that I am teaching you things that you did not know. Hope that you are sharing your endometriosis knowledge with others. I hope that things are going well for you on your endometriosis journey. Please feel free to reach out and share with me. We are all endo warriors. We're endo sisters. Endometriosis is something that affects all of us. And like I stated earlier, we are getting the funding, hopefully, to figure out. Hopefully, we're close to getting the research to be working on a cure, if not finding other treatments, like I said, besides birth control. But I just could not let the day go, this episode go, with that celebrating number 25. Woohoo! So excited. Can't wait. We will definitely be celebrating again at episode 50. And that will be quite the occasion. I am so excited that I am just ready to celebrate. Maybe I'll just celebrate at home about all the fun things going on with this. Again, like I said, this podcast is for you. I don't do it for myself. But I feel like we should all celebrate in some fun things that are happening. And with everything going on in the world, come on now. We honestly could all use a good celebration. So, as always, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. I hope everyone's staying safe, staying healthy. I hope that things are going well for you and that you are taking care of yourself and getting the self-care that you need to take, if that's a taking time to do whatever you want to do. Yes, there's time to do nothing. Sometimes there's nothing like a good nap, okay? A good nap is good. Reading a book. I love listening to music. I love exercising, just anything and everything. Just please take care of yourself, especially with everything going on. It's more crucial than ever that you take care of your mind, body, and spirit. Again, thank you for listening. I send you peace and love. Next episode is Saturday, September 5th, 12:45 p.m. Central Standard Time. I hope that you'll join me for the next episode of Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. Have a great day. Bye.